Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. Next week, Greg Cosell will be with us more than one day. He's coming in Tuesday for our charity event for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, which will take place at Nelson's Greenbrier Distillery. We will have Edley's Barbecue that night. It's already a sold-out event where Greg and Coach Dave McGinnis will take us inside the NFL draft room. They're going to break down some of the top prospects in this draft and much more. Cannot wait for that. Until then, Greg Cosell joins us as he does each and every week at this time, presented by the Huffacre Group of Keller Williams Realty. Greg, how are you?
Jonathan, how you doing?
Excellent. Can't wait for you to get to town next week.
Me too. I'm really looking forward to it.
It's going to be a blast, and next week we will go way in depth on all things NFL draft, because I know the plan is, from our perspective and just this show's perspective, you're going to be with us all week, and this is going to be incredible coverage and a one-of-a-kind coverage that only you can bring with your expertise. We really appreciate you coming to Nashville.
I appreciate you guys having me. I can't tell you how excited I am to get down there. I just wish I had about another 2 weeks, because yeah. I feel like I have about another 100 guys I want to watch, but unfortunately, there's only 24 hours in the day.
Greg, I was watching NFL Matchup, and you do a wonderful job on that show. You've got some specials coming up next week, I believe, too, maybe this week, too. You can give us the particulars with you and Matt Bowen and Sal Powell. But you piqued my interest on, was it earlier this week, or is it yesterday that it aired?
It aired last night, 8 o'clock Eastern.
Okay.
And then we have one more show that airs next Tuesday night, 2 days before the draft, actually, when we're at the event. So
great. Okay, so I didn't know when it aired. I was watching on DVR last night. But you were discussing, and so was Matt, secondary reactions for quarterbacks. Who is the best quarterback in this draft at the secondary reaction and how he adjusts to a defense to make a big play?
Well, that would probably be Kyler Murray. And I know that Matt, and we spoke about it on set, talked about him in context of, Patrick Mahomes, who obviously Murray is a smaller player. Mahomes has a freakish arm, but there are some similarities in the way they throw the ball. Murray actually has a very, very good arm. And one of the plays that Matt showed was a great example of it. It was against Alabama in the bowl game. When I think there was a breakdown in protection, and immediately Murray was pressured and he had to move. And when you move outside of the structure of the play, we call that a secondary reaction. Now, he was able to move so effectively on the play we showed, and he has this ability in that the design of the vertical route concept it remained intact, and he was able to deliver the ball on the move 55 yards in the air, and it was a beautifully thrown ball, and Kyler Murray can do that.
What concerns you whenever you watch him play? Anything?
I mean, I think his skill set is pretty high level. The concern you have, obviously, and it's been talked about over and over, is simply the size. My guess is, even though he came in at 205 at the combine, that he probably does not play at 205. My guess is he probably plays under 200. Then you're concerned at times with the height. The example we have is Russell Wilson. Of course, he just got paid a lot of money. But when you watch tape of Russell Wilson, and I've seen every snap of his in the NFL, there are many, many plays, to use the term that we use, that he leaves throws on the field for whatever reason. Maybe he can't see. Maybe he's just not comfortable with what he sees. But shorter quarterbacks will always leave some throws on the field that are there within the design of the route concept, just because they're shorter, and as I said, they may not be able to see it. So those are not concerns in the sense that I don't believe Kyler Murray can play, because I personally like Kyler Murray a lot, and I think he'll be a very good quarterback.
When I think of shorter quarterbacks, Greg, I think of throwing the ball in different slots and different arm angles at times. We've seen it with Drew Brees, Russell Wilson at times also. Do you see that ability with Kyler Murray?
Yeah, I do. And I think that, you know, there's a fine line there, because someone like Drew Brees is not going to make plays, Chad, running the way Russell Wilson or Kyler Murray can. Brees actually is an explosive athlete with his lower body, but he's not going to get out of the pocket and run around. So for someone like Drew, it's even more essential that he maneuver within the pocket, find the right angle to deliver the football, change his arm angle if need be. Whereas I think for Wilson and Murray, when they move, if they feel like they can make a throw, they'll run and they'll take off. And I ended up watching with Kyler Murray, Chad, about, I think 9 games, because I knew he'd be a little polarizing. And I don't remember him taking a big hit in any of the games I watched.
Knowing what you know of Kingsbury, does it make perfect sense to you for him to try to align with Murray? Or can you see him doing what he wants with Josh Rosen? Or will he have to alter a Cliff Kingsbury offense significantly for Rosen if they stay
well,
packed?
PK, again, to my way of thinking, I think it's a given that they will select Kyler Murray. Keep this in mind. Cliff Kingsbury is a young coach. Okay, he grew up playing in a specific system as a player, and then he coached that system. That's the system he knows. Now, that's not to suggest he knows nothing else about football, but you have to, as a coach, as you guys know, they work so many hours working with what they know and their system. Coaches end up coaching what they know. So this is what Cliff Kingsbury knows. And Kyler Murray fits that system perfectly. Josh Rosen does not. It seems to me that you don't hire Cliff Kingsbury and then not draft Kyler Murray.
I wonder with that, I need to go back and look at the teams that were interested in Rosen last year. I know there are quarterback needy teams, but I wonder if there's an Andy Reid type coach who really liked Rosen, and for whatever reason, their team didn't move up to get that quarterback the way the Chiefs moved to get Mahomes, and they see Rosen as their future.
Well, the Cards did a year ago. I mean, they traded up to get him. So they clearly thought that he was their future. Again, it's hard for any of us to know unless they're willing to be honest about it as to why they hired Cliff Kingsbury. Because, look, Steve Keim has been doing this for a long, long time. And Steve Keim knows that Josh Rosen is not a Cliff Kingsbury quarterback.
Yeah, and you're right. They did move up. I wonder who they were afraid of taking him when they moved up to get him. And
I can't remember specifically who they jumped ahead of.
I'm making a note to go and try to figure this out, because that's one storyline to follow next week.
I wanted to jump over to Hunter Renfro, who everybody jokes has been in college for 10 years. and everybody
almost as long as I was in college.
Everybody immediately stereotypes here he is, a white slot receiver. List off all the white slot receivers and plug him in as one of those guys. What do you think he can be as a pro, given his skill set in college?
Probably a white slot receiver. I think ultimately that's what he is. Because, first of all, you have to look at what his size is. I mean, you know, look what Tennessee just did with Adam Humphries. You know, that kind of player, who I believe was also a Clemson player.
Yep.
You're dealing with a player in Renfro who's 5'10", 184. He's not fast, but he's a reliable, sure-handed receiver. I think he one of the things that those guys do really well is they understand the pace and tempo of route running. You think of someone like Cole Beasley. Cole Beasley did well in Dallas, and he's now, I believe, in Buffalo. These guys are not vertical threats, So what they have to do is they have to find ways with their route tempo and their route pacing and their understanding of how to work against the leverage of corners is they have to understand how to create just enough separation, because normally these guys are not running routes at 18, 20, 22 yards down the field. They're running shorter routes, so the ball gets out quicker. So they have to understand how to win quickly.
Greg, reports out that Marquise Brown, Hollywood Brown from Oklahoma, one of the receivers that the Titans are meeting with here in town. Is he more than just a speed guy? Take us through the breakdown from what you've seen from him, and how is his route running? Because as we know, you beat speed by jamming them at the line and getting them off their mark. How has Brown been in those situations?
Well, the thing is he wasn't put in a lot of those situations in college, because he was a guy that moved around quite a bit in their offense at Oklahoma. He lined up both outside and in the slot. He was deployed as a movement receiver. Sometimes he lined up in the backfield. What you saw him do at Oklahoma was essentially run vertical routes and run crossers. You try to get receivers like that, Jonathan, the ball on the move, where they can, their speed is a factor immediately. And, you know, keep in mind, he was 166 pounds. The comparisons, and we dealt with Marquise Brown on last night's matchup show, which I know is being rerun as this week goes on. I just don't have the times. But, you know, people can press that blue button and talk into their remotes and say NFL matchup.
Yep.
Matt Bowen did a piece on him, basically showing him running vertically and then running a screen, but he also ran a ton of shallow crossers because you want to get him the ball on the move. But he's 166. The comparison is a DeSean Jackson, a T.Y. Hilton. Players like that have major value in the league. They may not be volume receivers. Hilton has been, but they may not be volume receivers. But what they do for an offense is they dictate coverage, because no defense wants to get beat over the top for a big play touchdown.
And he's a blur whenever he gets going.
He can run, no question about it. You know, we don't have an official 40 time because of his injury, but I think we all know that he can run. As I was told my first year at the Combine by an all-time scout, what the 40 time tells us is fast guys run fast and slow guys run slow.
Well, he looks fast. We know that. And he's got a Liz Frank injury in his foot that has kept him from that. Is Tyreek Hill too easy of a comparison?
I don't know if it's easy. I think there's some validity to it, because I think in today's NFL, you'll see Brown on jet sweep action. As I said, you'll see him out of the backfield. No, I think that's a valid comparison.
Greg Cosell on 104.5 The Zone, presented by the Huffaker Group of Keller Williams Realty, 833-THG-NASH, or online at THGTN.com.
Greg Cosell with us. He'll be in town starting next Tuesday. He's with us by phone today, talking NFL draft, among other things, presented by the Huffaker Group of Keller Williams Realty.
Greg, the Titans have reassembled for their offseason program. One of the things Marcus Mariota did while he really rested up to try to get healthy was worked on putting on a little bit of a weight. Incapable for some reason of telling us how much, but somewhere between 5 and 10 pounds.
Right.
How much in your eyes can something like that make a difference? What do you see from other quarterbacks around the league in terms of durability related to muscle mass, so to speak?
Well, I guess the question would be as to why he chose to do that. I mean, ultimately, a part of his game has been his movement ability, but he's been hurt a lot. And as you get older in this league, and not that he's an old quarterback, but he is getting older, and you want to stay healthy, you want to be available for all 16 games, clearly. So maybe he's feeling that the running part may not be as big a factor. I don't know this. I'm just speculating. I think we all agree that his efficiency within the pocket overall probably needs to improve for him to reach a higher level of play on a week-to-week basis. And maybe he just felt that he wanted to be sturdier. And I don't know if that will impact his movement at all. You know, certainly he's a high-level athlete as far as movement. So we'll see. But, you know, I think that the Titans' passing game overall is probably something they'll be focused on quite a bit through the offseason and through training camp as well.
Greg, with what you've seen in New Orleans with Hill at quarterback and then splitting out and doing other things, do you think we'll see – the NFL's a copycat league. Do you think we'll see a few quarterbacks selected day two or day three in this draft, mainly day three, where teams will try to go in that direction with a few of these guys, namely maybe a player like Nick Fitzgerald from Mississippi State?
Yeah. Look, I know Sean Payton well, and I consider him a friend, actually, but I never quite understood that, but he's certainly a lot smarter than I am. So I don't know. I don't have a good answer for that because I can't quite, in my own mind, get a philosophical handle on it. So I don't know, but you're right, Jonathan. It's very, very possible. And the perfect name that does come to mind is Nick Fitzgerald, who is a great, great runner, not a particularly good thrower of the football. I mean, he had games this year. I think he had a game where he rushed for almost 200 yards this year. There were many games in which he carried 20-plus times. He sort of fits that category about as well as any quarterback that I can think of at the moment coming out of college football this year.
I know running back, this is not a great year for the top of this draft at running back. But if you would have asked analysts, and I know this is very general and generic, 2 years ago, you could start rattling off name after name. Benny Snell at Kentucky, Bryce Love at Stanford. These guys are in this draft, but yet they don't necessarily translate at the top of this draft. What's holding back this running back class compared to years or over the last couple of years? Is it just simple speed, or is it more than that?
Well, I think there's a lot of things that go into the running back position right now and the discussion of it. And there are certainly many people who believe that running backs are somewhat interchangeable unless someone is viewed as absolutely special like Ezekiel Elliott. Saquon Barkley would be viewed as special, clearly. But there are also many, Jonathan, who believe that the Giants made a terrible mistake and they should have drafted Sam Darnold. So, you know, that's another philosophical issue. It's very interesting to me. You look at a team like the Seattle Seahawks. They just paid Russell Wilson more than any quarterback in the NFL. But yet, 1 year ago, they made a significant transition in their offensive philosophy, hiring Brian Schottenheimer, who basically made Russell Wilson a complementary piece in a run-first offense. So it's a difficult question that smart, reasonable people will disagree on. I mean, I've watched Benny Snell. I've watched Bryce Love. You know, there's David Montgomery from Ohio State, yeah, who theoretically has feature trait backs. Not theoretically, he does have feature trait backs. My guess is he's not going to be a first-round pick. He's not going to be seen as special, but I believe you could line him up if you're going to start your offense with a run game, and he could be your back.
Greg, philosophical question on Benny Snell as you evaluate him. And I've thought this about other running backs in the past also. He is Kentucky's all-time leading rusher. They relied on him in so many different ways. They'd snap directly to him. They'd give it to him out of the backfield. They did a little bit of everything with him. When you have that much film on someone and they are relied on that heavily, at times I almost think it could hurt that player in an evaluation because you have the opportunity to see everything they don't do well. Time and time again also, just as much as you see the good things, whereas the guys who specialize and do some different things in college, maybe their upside looks to be a little bit better as opposed to the guy who was so productive and carried the load. Does that happen at all with a guy like Benny Snell because of how much you could see of him?
I mean, I think there's a sense, I don't think there's a lot of mystery, Chad, to what Benny Snell is, but I would have said there's not a lot of mystery to what Sony Michel is either. A year ago, and obviously he became the workhorse for the Patriots. He was also a first-round pick. Yeah, I mean, I think we know that Snell's a workmanlike downhill runner. He certainly has sustaining NFL traits. He's determined. He's decisive. He's got patience. He's got vision. You know, he's not explosive. You wouldn't necessarily call him naturally elusive and shifty, but I would argue that neither Sony Michel. But Snell's tough. He's physical. You know, again, it comes back to now philosophy, Chad, as to what a team wants and whether they think there's 10 guys who are like Benny Snell or 10 guys that could, let's say, do what Benny Snell does for an offense. But Benny Snell, is a good back, but my guess is he's certainly not going to be a first night pick. I don't know if he'll be a day two pick. He could well be, but my guess is he's not going to be a second round pick either.
We've talked a lot about Lindstrom and Mike Vrabel's insight into Lindstrom. We have not talked at all, as far as I know, about Wyatt Ray and Zach Allen from Boston College. A year after Harold or Honor Landry, he's got similar insight into those guys. His son may be going against them a little bit in practice, and his strength coach obviously helped develop them. What can you tell us about those two guys as edge prospects?
Well, I think the guy to really talk about there is Allen. Allen is a guy that's played a lot of football. You know, he's an interesting player because he's not a pure pass rusher. And the way we often think about defensive ends in this league is pass rush. You know, if they're not great pass rushers, they're not viewed as necessarily high picks. I mean, I think you're dealing with a guy that's big. You know, a lot of defensive ends these days are not as big as Zach Allen is. You know, I think you're dealing with a guy that has a great feel for his assignments and his responsibilities. He can set the edge. He can penetrate more so in the run game as opposed to being an edge rusher. You know, I think he's a point of attack player more than a dominant speed guy. Now, every defense needs those guys. Those guys are glue guys. You know, it's the kind of guy that could end up with 8 sacks in a given year, but he's not necessarily going to be a big sack artist. So, you know, he's one of those kinds of guys that, like I said, every team needs. You know, whether he's a starting player for you and playing 65 snaps, that remains to be seen. Could he work inside in your sub and rush the quarterback from inside? Possibly.
Greg Cosell, presented by the Huffaker Group. Greg, next week, Quinnen Williams, Nick Bosa, Josh Allen. We mentioned Murray a bit today, but not much, and several others. We will go very much in depth on all of the top prospects throughout the week next week when you get to town. We cannot wait leading up to round one coverage on Thursday, and then we'll reset the table and do it all again on Friday next week with you as well.
Now you've got the limo all set for me, right, to drive me around town, John?
We do.
We're going rickshaw.
One of those school buses that they've renovated and put a hot tub in for you.
I thought you were going to get Kuhusky's limo for me for the week.
That's his limo, actually.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Thank you so much, and we'll see you in town next week.
I'm really looking forward to it. Thanks.
Yep. Greg Cosell, presented by the Huffaker Group, and David Reed has been working on the film for NFL Draft Room. It's going to be a phenomenal night where Cosell and Coach Mack will break down the film of the top prospects in this draft, and it's all going to be at Nelson's Greenbrier Distillery. Big thanks to Andy and Charlie Nelson for helping us out and being on Team Hut 104.5 as we raise money for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Tennessee.
Cannot wait for that night. That event sold out quickly.
Yep.
Less than a day.
Right at 23 hours.
Big time.